Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program that is devoted to the most important, to the largest, and to the fastest growing segment of society. To those of you who have come to realize that all of the world's religious, political, economic, academic, military, and media institutions are corrupt. That all of these things are counterproductive, and there's not one of them that can be fixed. If you would like to participate in this discussion, if you'd like to join us at any time over the next 2 hours, our number is toll-free, 877-300-7645. A friend of mine, regular listener to this program, said that Obama was quoted yesterday as saying, "We are not at war with Islam. We are at war with people who have perverted Islam." It was a remark that he made in a speech to Muslim leaders, to which he added, "We need to do more to discredit the notion that our nations are determined to suppress Islam." He knows he's lying. He's not naive. He is so fixated, though, on promoting the lie that he is brazen about it. What do you think of a man being popularly elected to the United States' highest office who is blatantly lying about the single most deadly issue of our day? He's not lying about, you know, I really didn't cheat on my wife. This isn't lying as I really didn't have sex with an intern. This isn't lying, I really didn't forget that it was my daughter's birthday. This isn't lying, I really am a Christian, having gone to Reverend Wright's anti-Semitic church. This isn't a little lie. This isn't a political lie of perceptions. This is an absolute, blatant lie. Every aspect of it. Obama has declared war on the Islamic State. There is no more accurate representation of Islam on the planet today than the Islamic State. They are the reincarnation of Muhammad and the first Muslims. These Islamic terrorists, whether it be the Islamic State, Boko Haram, or it be any of the other hundreds, if not thousands, of Islamic terrorist organizations like the Taliban, are all living Islam, expressing Islam, advancing Islam, exactly as Islam is presented in the Quran, exactly as Islam is presented in the Hadith, exactly as Muhammad lived it. Rather than having perverted their religion, the only perversion going on here is in the words and the notions of the President of the United States. When he says that these terrorists have perverted Islam, he is lying. That is a perversion of Islam. Muhammad was a terrorist. When he says we're at war with terrorists, not those who seek religious justifications and credibility, he is misrepresenting the fundamental nature of Islam. Islam was born as a terrorist doctrine. It was born as a criminal enterprise. It was conceived to wage war on all humankind, not because Muhammad was interested in conquest, but because he was covetous of booty. These are the facts. The facts are undeniable. They're pervasive. They're ubiquitous. They're as obvious as the nose on our faces And yet this man constantly lies, and there isn't anyone in the media who can stand up to him, who will say, no, read the 8th surah. Read the 5th surah. Read the 9th surah. Read the 33rd surah. Read the 4th. When one realizes that the popularly elected leader of a nation is lying about the single most deadly issue of our day, Islamic-inspired terrorism, and our response to it, sending men and women into harm's way to wage war on a foe that he has misrepresented, I don't think there's anything you can do as president that would be worse than that. If bearing false witness isn't an impeachable act, what would be? When you send men into harm's way based upon a lie, and they die, when you decide that you ought to use drones to kill 4,000 civilians, just because, not a single one of them having been indicted, not a single one of them having their day in court, not a single one of them proven to have harmed an American, and you go to other countries and fly predator drones and murder them, if that's not an impeachable act, what is? When a president has control over life and death, when they define the issue by misappropriating the facts, and when no one seems to care, is there any hope for such a nation, for such a people? Islam should be suppressed. It should be hated. It is despicable. Muhammad was despicable. The Quran is despicable. Allah is despicable. Every aspect of Islam is reprehensible. It's destructive. It's murderous. It's counterproductive. It's immoral. It's degrading. Everything it touches it destroys. We should hate it. We should declare war on it, but our war on it should not be with bullets and bombs. In America, we're doing everything wrong. We're not only misidentifying our enemy, which means we have no chance of prevailing against them, but we're attacking this foe in the way that actually strengthens them, that plays to their very heart, their very soul, the very essence of the religion, is to declare war on them. When you do that, you open up all of the Quranic justifications for all manner of hideous responses, which is why we're seeing them through Boko Haram and through the Islamic State today, even al-Nusra, the Taliban, all of them. And there is a way to wage war with Islam that would be effective. And that is to tell the truth about it, to expose it and condemn it based solely upon the words and deeds of Muhammad as they're recorded in the Quran and Hadith. Tell the people the truth. The truth is hideous. The truth is disgusting. Tell the people the truth. Some Muslims will accept it and say, oh boy, why am I glad I'm free of that. Some will be enraged that their wannabe God, his wannabe prophet, and their ridiculous Quran have been called into question. And they will act like Muslims and they will respond aggressively. But at least you'll know who the enemy is. So beyond exposing and condemning Islam for what it actually is, rather than trying to pervert it to make it what it is not, the other thing we need to do is just isolate it. We need, rather than talking with Muslim leaders, rather than integrating Islam into society, we need to completely isolate it. It's like the mafia. You don't prevail by integrating the mafia and organized crime into your culture. You prevail by ostracizing them, by quarantining them, by disassociating from them, by not doing business with them, by not providing arms to them. And of course, America is doing all of the wrong things, the opposite of all of these things, providing more arms to Muslims than to anyone else in the world, doing business with Muslims at a pace beyond that which we do business with anyone else, and making Islam part of the fabric of America. It's all based on absolute and complete ignorance. That choice is irrational, it is ignorant, it's merciless, and it will lead to the very destruction of this country. But don't say you weren't warned. Battles around the Syrian city of Aleppo. We haven't heard Aleppo in the news in some time. Aleppo is up there in the northwest. It's an area that has very little to do with the Islamic State, which is why we don't hear much about them. It is the area that became the, it and the Homs became the epicenter of the Syrian civil war back at the time that the Sunni militants armed by Saudi Arabia and Qatar via the United States were battling pro Assad government forces, primarily the military initially, and then when the military failed, Hezbollah. And so it was the epicenter initially of the Sunni-Shia civil war, and Aleppo and Homs were utterly destroyed. Nothing but a heap of rubble and ruin. We'll return to this scene in a moment. So an army that is backed by allied militia. Now, this article, the Reuters journalist, doesn't seem to know the name of the allied militia with the Assad regime. It's Hezbollah. And it's Hezbollah because Hezbollah is the Marine Corps of Iran. And Hezbollah is the dominant force in Syria. It's not Assad. Yeah, he's the dictator of Syria, but he's a figurehead. Hezbollah is the power in Syria. And the Hezbollah militia is the one that turned that tide of the civil war in Syria. The Sunni militias were prevailing. Assad was losing. And Hezbollah, who is armed not to fight Sunni Muslims, but is armed principally to invade Israel, decided that for the sake of Shia Islam's dominance in Syria over Sunnis, that they would have to fight the Sunni militias. And when they engaged, they turned the tide of the war. Now, this particular battle is between Hezbollah and al-Nusra. Al-Nusra is the was the dominant force of Mujahideen engaged in the Syrian civil war during the time that Senator John McClown and the Obaminator were talking about providing arms to the Syrian freedom fighters. The Free Syrian Army. Well, there was no Free Syrian Army, but there sure as hell was al-Nusra, and they were a formidable force. And the problem with al-Nusra was that because of the events in Iraq, whereby the American handover of control of Iraq to Shia mullahs in Tehran, and then providing them with an army, the Iranians did what they tried to do some 20 years ago. They want to have an armed insurrection of Shia over Sunni in Iraq and actually incorporate Iraq into Iran. And America gave Iran the military capability to do so. And they were doing so. They began to bombard with American weapons the Sunni enclaves in Iraq. And so the American Awakening program, which were armed Sunnis, allegedly to go after Al-Qaeda, created the Islamic State in Iraq for the express purpose of defending Sunnis against this Shia assault. And they were so effective that the Sunnis ultimately captured the weapons that were being handed over, that were being dropped by the Shia, and now the Islamic State of Iraq possessed very modern, very capable American weapons and the knowledge of how to use them. Because they were many of those in the Islamic State of Iraq were generals and officers in Saddam Hussein's army. And when they became powerful, they realized, you know, that they could push west and ignore the border with Syria, engage in that jihad against Shiite Islam and its influence there, and create a swath of territory, just as the Kurds had, in a combined Iraq and Iran. And when they did so, they found that al-Nusra said, you know, we're the big dog here among the Sunni Mujahideen in Syria. You know, go away. This is our fight. And the Islamic State said, no, I don't think we're going to play that way. And they said, you can either join us or, you know, we'll annihilate you too. And what ended up happening is that al-Nusra, with exception of the area around Aleppo and Homs, simply became part of the Islamic State. So we only have this one enclave that they're active. They're fighting Hezbollah. And because of the American bombings of the al-Nusra front, which occurred during the first wave, the Syrian regime, Assad's forces, Hezbollah, is prevailing. Once again, America is on the wrong side of a lose-lose game. An interesting story here, but Qatar has recalled its ambassador from Egypt following a dispute about the airstrikes on the Islamic State targets in Libya. Now, first of all, we really need to have a better appreciation of what went on here. The cops in Egypt are so abused by Muslims in Egypt that they have no opportunity for work. Their churches are routinely looted and burned. Their daughters are routinely kidnapped and raped. Life in Egypt for a Copt Christian under the military junta is hell. And when you realize that it's so bad in Egypt on Christians, just as it is in Syria and Iraq, where their numbers have been decimated, reduced by some 90%, that they're willing to go to Libya, which is nothing but a sea of rival Mujahideen, Islamic jihadists, to find work. And it's because amongst this sea of Islamic jihadists, there is no one willing to actually do work because good Muslims only work at being terrorists. And so they need somebody to do ordinary jobs. And so in the lack of institutionalized governance, and in the with this lack of anyone actually willing to do any work in a place where most foreigners are unwilling to go, as is needed in any Islamic state, to do anything productive. I mean, all of the productive people in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Kuwait are Westerners. They employ them to do the work because the Muslims don't. And so they go to Libya just because even though there is a wash in Islamic terrorism, the conditions there are better than they are under the institutional control of an Islamic army in Egypt. And the terrorists, the Muslims who murdered the 21 Christians by beheading them, were as much part of the Islamic State as is a Muslim here in America. They just use the term. They use the term because it's now popular. You draw more attention when you take the term that is the most popular because it's the Muslim organization that the United States is declaring war against. And so it's the most popular, just was Al-Qaeda for many years. You know, Al-Qaeda doesn't exist anymore. But the Islamic State sure as hell does. And so rather than just being Answer Sharia. Answer Sharia is the Islamic group that played basketball with our CIA and then used the information they gleaned by playing them for fools, our intelligence community for fools, to go in and murder the American ambassador and three other Americans in Benghazi. But Answer Sharia, which means Friends of Sharia Law, that isn't a catchy, glitchy, famous name. That isn't the name that, you know, it's not like, like the Islamic State now is the New York Yankees. And Answer Sharia is the Cleveland Indians. And so they just simply claimed to do this under the name of the Islamic State. But there is another element here, to be fair, which is that Sunni Muslims, which represent 80% of Muslims worldwide, want to unify under a caliphate. They want the entire world to be under Sharia law. They want a one-world dictatorial government that is wholly and completely Islamic. And so the notion of Islamic State appeals to those who are Islamic. And the only reason that Egypt bombed them is it gave Sisi this opportunity to make it look like he was in opposition to terrorists, just as he has eliminated his only rivals in Egypt. He's gone to war far more viciously against the Muslim Brotherhood than did his predecessor, Mubarak. But he will do nothing to protect Copt Christians in Egypt. So this is simply a show to fool the foolish into thinking that Egypt is against terrorism. No, it's not at all. That Egypt is a place that supports minority communities. That's not true either. He did nothing, has done nothing, to stop the violence against Copts in Egypt. And under his control, it has increased radically. He simply put on a show. Well, Qatar had a problem with that because all of the weapons that are being used in Libya and this actual group, whatever their name was before they declared themselves part of the Islamic State, they were a client of Qatar. Qatar supplied virtually all of the weapons for the Libyan civil war. And so the victims of those bombs, the perpetrators of the beheadings, are clients of Qatar. And so when Qatar's ambassador to Egypt criticized Egypt's bombarding of its own client, the Egyptians said, well, then you're a supporter of terrorism. And that's the current infighting. Now, also, there's only one credible, and they're not credible, but there's one popular news agency presenting an Islamic viewpoint to Muslims, Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera is Qatari. And Al Jazeera and Qatar were the largest benefactors of the Muslim Brotherhood and Mohamed Morsi when he was voted into power. And so when Sisi overthrew him, there was very bad blood between Qatar and Egypt and Qatar and the army of Sisi. Because, again, their client, the Muslim Brotherhood, they were being annihilated. And so there is a huge friction right now between those that are in support of these fundamentalist Islamic mujahideen, like Qatar, and Egypt, who recognizes that even if the military leaders are fundamentalist Muslims, they have to root out fundamentalist Muslims outside of the military or they will lose all control. And so Egypt is at war with the very people Qatar is supplying with weapons. The Qatari government, through Al Jazeera, said that the Egyptian bombing of Libya was against righteousness. That's just that there is such a thing called righteousness in Islam. And, of course, the Egyptian Air Force bombed Islamic State bases in Libya. There is no such thing. On Monday, in retaliation for the beheading of the 21 Christians. And the official statement from Qatari's foreign ministry official, Saad bin Saad, by the way, is the Muslim who Muhammad asked one day as to what should happen to the Beni Qurayza tribe, which was the last surviving enclave of Jews in Yathrib, today's Medina, when Muhammad rounded them up, bound them all, hand and foot, and brought them before him. He asked Saad, who was his principal henchman, his most ruthless goon, what should be done to him. And he says, I think you should kill all the men and boys. We should rape the women, and we should enslave the children. And Muhammad said, Saad, you have spoken for Allah. So this ministry official, Saad bin Ali al-Muhammadi, denounced the Egyptians and said it was against righteousness, wisdom, and principles of joint Arab action. Yes, there is this realization, folks, that should Islam prevail, and it won't, and if it were to have an armed conquest of the world, and they prevail over Europe and the Americas and Asia, as their predecessors attempted to do throughout Africa and up to the borders of Europe, including Spain, should they prevail, and they create their unified Islamic caliphate, should Sunnis annihilate Shias, and so that there is only one Islam, there will will still be war. They will still fight each other because Islam knows nothing else. They will continue to be at each other's throat. This is the reason one does not capitulate to evil. Reuters is reporting that the United States National Security Agency, the NSA, has figured out how to hide spying software deep into the hard drives made by the world's largest hard drive companies, Western Digital, Seagate, and Toshiba, as well as other top manufacturers, giving the agency the means to eavesdrop on the majority of the world's computers, according to cyber researchers and former operatives. You hear that? It's not just that the NSA is eavesdropping on every time that you use your cell phone and every time you click on an internet site. They have total access to your hard drive. The NSA has figured out a way to hide spying software within the hard drives made by Western Digital, Seagate, Toshiba, and most other top manufacturers, giving the NSA the means to eavesdrop on the vast majority of the world's computers. I know that if I pause too long, it sets off all sorts of alarms in the studio there at GCN. But I wanted that to sink in. You know, it was Edward Snowden that provided us with the gift that our government was violating its own constitution and that it was spying on Americans, which means that according to the U.S. government, according to its military, because the NSA is run by the military, and it provides information to politicians. So according to elected officials in Washington, D.C., both sides of the aisle, according to the U.S. military, the American people have become the enemy. They're the ones being spied upon. And they not only were monitoring by compelling companies like Verizon and AT&T to provide access to every phone call. They also forced Microsoft and Google and Apple and Facebook et al. To provide them direct access to every internet click and every email. All of that. But that wasn't enough for them. No. These goons are so out of control, they've also provided devices on every hard drive. You have absolutely no privacy. All of your communications are being monitored. Now, there's only one way you can keep from having your communications, which are being monitored, come to the attention where they're actually being focused upon. And that is just go along. You can be apathetic. You can be a zombie. You can be like those in Animal Farm that are just herded. Sheeple. Go along. Be ignorant. Be irrational. Capitulate. Then they will never pay any attention to anything you say or do. But if you put your head above the crowd, if you say, no, this is wrong, this is unconstitutional, this is completely inappropriate, this is immoral, this is outrageous, you can be certain they'll listen to everything you have to say and do everything they can to destroy your credibility. The long-sought and closely guarded ability was part of a cluster of spying programs discovered by the Kaspersky Lab, the Moscow-based security software maker that has exposed a series of Western cyber espionage operations. Kaspersky said that it found personal computers in 30 countries infected with one or more of these spying programs, with most of the infections seen in Iran, followed by Russia, Pakistan, Afghanistan, China, Mali, Syria, Yemen, and Algeria. Gee, what's the common denominator there? Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Mali, Syria, Yemen, and Algeria. There's only two countries there that aren't Islamic. Russia and China. But it's amazing how America wants to be seen as not in a war against Islam, and yet most of those that they are most aggressively targeting are Muslims. And that they have long since seen Russia and China as adversaries. This notion that the United States is putting sanctions on Russia because of Russia's malfeasance in Ukraine should be torn asunder by this realization that decades before this occurred, the United States was developing means to spy on Russia in this way. The targets included government and military institutions, telecommunications companies, banks, energy companies, nuclear researchers, the media, Islamic activists, and much more. But they have access to everyone's computer. These are the world's largest hard drive manufacturers.